Al Bayan Radio presents the following special presentation from Masjid Al Azhar, Bilmo.
Bismillah wa alhamdulillah. Salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa ansarihi wa atba'ihi wa alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. Ja'alani Allahu wa iyyakum min ibadihi salihin. ومن أتباع سنة سيد المرسلين صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أما بعد أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم في هذه الأمسية التي عنوانها أو سيكون الحديث فيها عن عقيدة الأئمة الأربعة. يناسب جدا في هذه المناسبة أن أشنف مسامعكم بهذه القصيدة اللامية لشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله. شيخ الإسلام اسمه أحمد ابن عبد الحليم ابن عبد السلام ابن تيمية الحراني، مولود سنة 661 هجرية، والمتوفى سنة 728. هذه القصيدة المعروفة باللامية يذكر فيها شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله مذهبه وعقيدته، والشاهد منها هو آخرها، ولكن لا بأس أن أتلوها عليكم وعلى المشاهدين معنا الآن. يقول رحمه الله: يا سائلي عن مذهبي وعقيدتي، رزق الهدى من للهداية يسأل، اسمع كلام محقق في قوله لا ينثني عنه ولا يتبدل. ثم يبدأ رحمه الله يقول: حب الصحابة كلهم لي مذهب. وهذا هو مذهب أهل السنة والجماعة فيما يتعلق بصحابة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم جميعا، نحبهم جميعا ونجلهم جميعا رضي الله عنهم أجمعين، ومودة القربى بها أتوسل. وهناك خصوصيات أيضا فيما يتعلق بآل البيت رضي الله عنهم، وأيضا كأبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وبعض الصحابة، خصوصا بالنسبة للمبشرين بالجنة، ومن جاءت الأحاديث تخصهم بفضائل وتجعل لهم مكانة رضي الله عنهم جميعا. ولكلهم قدر وفضل ساطع، لكن الصديق منهم أفضل رضي الله عنهم. ثم يقول رحمه الله: وأقر بالقرآن ما جاءت به آياته، فهو القديم المنزل، وجميع آيات الصفات أمرها حقا كما نقل الطراز الأول، وأرد عقبتها إلى نقالها وأصونها عن كل ما يتخيل قبحا لمن نبذ الكتاب وراءه، أي القرآن، قبحا له، تبا له لمن نبذ القرآن الكتاب وراءه. وإذا استدل يقول قال الأخطل، يستدل بقول الأخطل وهو شاعر نصراني معروف. والمؤمنون يرون حقا ربهم، وإلى السماء بغير كيف ينزل، وأقر بالميزان والحوض الذي أرجو بأني منه ريا أنهل، وكذا الصراط يمد فوق جهنم فموحد فموحد ناج وآخر مهمل، والنار يصلاها الشقي بحكمة، وكذا التقي إلى الجنان سيدخل. ولكل حي عاقل في قبره عمل يقارنه هناك ويسأل. هنا الشاهد يعني الشيخ جلال جزاه الله خيرا يعطيكم الثمرة، ولكن يعني الثمرة هنا وملخص الكلام هنا وهذا المقصود يعني من قراءة هذه اللامية، يقول رحمه الله، وهذا له علاقة بموضوع هذه الأمسية وفيما يتعلق بعقيدة الأئمة الأربعة، ثم يقول رحمه الله: هذا اعتقاد الشافعي ومالك وأبي حنيفة ثم أحمد ينقل. فإن اتبعت سبيلهم فموحد، وإن ابتدعت فما عليك معول.
We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask Allah to send peace and blessings upon His final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We welcome you all to this seminar discussing the creed, the belief of the imams of the four madhabs, the four schools of Islamic thought, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad, and how they viewed creed and how what their opinions on the creed were, and especially in relation to how people who claim to be followers of these great imams and how yani they follow their creeds. The Sheikh, he said, I would like to begin my presentation today by delighting you with the famous poem of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah about aqidah. It's quite a short poem. He says, and I'm going to translate briefly, O you who ask me about my doctrine and my creed, may he be bestowed with guidance, the one who asks. Listen to the speech of someone who has ascertained the truth without departing nor replacing anything of it. The first point he mentions, love of the companions, all of them is my way. And love of the nearest, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is a way that I draw closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love of the companions is something part of our faith. And especially the love of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a special place in the heart of every true believer. And then he says, but the station of but the high station of love is for As-Siddiq Abu Bakr. That is the highest and most beloved of all the companions. The next thing he mentions about the Qur'an, he said, I say about the Qur'an that everything that it has come with, its verses are revelation that have been sent down. And I affirm everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said and chosen Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and do not explain it and twist its meaning. And all of the verses relating to the attributes of Allah, I affirm them in truth. And as the first generations of the Muslims did, yani the first generations of the Sahaba and the Tabi'in, they affirmed the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran without speculating in them, without twisting their meanings, and took them as they were. And I attribute the sayings to the one that said them. And I move any interpretation from what could be imagined in the minds. So we say, as Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, without adding and without negating. And we say, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, using the same terms and terminology and words. And anything that a person may interpret, or any meaning that may come to his mind, then it is opposite of that. Disgrace is the one who threw the Quran behind his back. And if he wants to use as evidence, he quotes Al-Akhtal, which is one of the philosophers. And he was actually a Christian philosopher, and he used to do poems on philosophy and things like that. And some people, they use the sayings of non-Muslim philosophers to interpret the Islamic creed, and rejecting and misinterpreting the Quran based on philosophies based on philosophies of non-Muslims. And then he says, another point of faith is that the believers, he affirms that the believers will see their Lord in truth, and that to the heavens does he descend without designating how. And I affirm the scales and the pond of the Prophet ﷺ, and I hope to be of those whose thirst will be quenched by it. And as well, I affirm the bridge that will be extended over the hellfire. And so some people will be saved and others will be left to fall into the hellfire. And I affirm that the hellfire, that the wretched ones will be burned in Allah's divine wisdom. And likewise I affirm that the pious will enter the gardens. And as well, I affirm that every mentally sound living person will be in his grave, and he will have deeds that will accompany him, and he will be questioned. So these are some of the points that he mentioned about faith. And then this is the most important point and is the final line of the poem. He said, and this was the creed of a Shafi'i and Malik, and Abu Hanifa and Ahmad, as has been transmitted. So these points of faith that Ibn Taymiyyah here in his Lamiyya poem affirmed is showing that this was the creed that was adopted by the great imams of the madhabs that all of Ahlus Sunnah respect and hold in esteem.
أيها الإخوة الآن عندي ثلاث نقط. النقطة الأولى لها علاقة بالموضوع، والنقطة الثانية والثالثة خارج الموضوع، ولكن أغتنم هذا اللقاء، وأريد من باب التذكير والنصح لنفسي ولإخواني، خصوصا العاملين في مجال وحقل الدعوة إلى الله عز وجل، لأنها أو كما أراها أنا مسائل مهمة لابد بين الفينة والأخرى أن نذكر بها أنفسنا والآخرين. النقطة الأولى حول الموضوع، وكما سمعتم أيها الإخوة وكما أكد شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله أن هذه العقيدة هي اعتقاد الإمام الشافعي ومالك وأبي حنيفة وأحمد رحم الله الجميع. ذكر هؤلاء الأئمة، وإلا يوجد من الأئمة المئات والآلاف رحمهم الله جميعا، ولكن هؤلاء الأئمة كما تعلمون أصبح لهم مذاهب ومدارس، وعموم الناس يتبعون هذه المدارس وهذه المذاهب. العجب أيها الإخوة من أهل البدع والأهواء، تتعجب كثيرا من هؤلاء والمتعصبة من أهل المذاهب، فتراهم يقلدون المذاهب تقليدا أعمى إلا في العقيدة. يقلدون المذاهب تقليدا أعمى إلا في المذاهب. إذا أراد أحدهم أن يعرف عن نفسه بطاقة تعريفية عن نفسه، ماذا يقول؟ شافعي المذهب مثلا، أشعري العقيدة، رفاعي الطريقة. طيب لماذا لم تقل كما أخذت الفقه عن الإمام الشافعي، لماذا لم تأخذ العقيدة عن الإمام الشافعي؟ لماذا لم تأخذ علمك ودينك عن الإمام الشافعي أو الإمام مالك أو أبي حنيفة أو أحمد أو غيرهم رحم الله الجميع؟ وهذا من المفارقات العجيبة، يأخذون الفقه ويتعصبون. أما بالنسبة للعقيدة وهي الفقه الأكبر كما عند الإمام أبي حنيفة رحمه الله، يأخذون عقيدتهم ويفهمون توحيدهم من غير الأئمة، فتراهم مثلا ينكرون على أتباع، يعني أتباع السلف ينكرون ويشغبون عليهم، بل ويفترون، يعني يفترون ينشرون هذه الافتراءات يعني عليهم أنهم لا يحترمون المذاهب، وهذا من الحرب الإعلامية. هذا نوع من الحرب الإعلامية حتى يصد الناس عن الحق. قال لا يحترمون المذاهب ولا يحترمون أئمة المذاهب، ولا شك أن هذا كذب وافتراء. ولو راجعنا بالنسبة لأي طالب يستطيع أن يراجع ويرجع إلى كل الأئمة فيما بعد، يعني الأئمة الأربعة، حتى شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله ما كان حنبليا. لو راجعتم إلى يعني كبار العلماء بعد الأئمة تراهم هذا على مذهب الشافعي أو الحنفي أو المالكي أو إلى يومنا هذا. ولكن الفرق أيها الإخوة، كما يعني قال شيخنا رحمه الله الشيخ عبد الرحمن عبد الصمد، كان يقول عندما زارنا في استراليا وتوفاه الله في استراليا، كان يقول لنا كن، وانتبهوا إلى هذه العبارة، كن مثلا حنفيا ولكن زائد دليل، كن شافعيا ولكن زائد دليل، كن أيضا مالكيا، كن حنبليا ولكن زائد دليل. هذا بالنسبة لطلاب العلم. أما بالنسبة لغير طلاب العلم، هؤلاء يعني لا يصلحهم إلا، أو لا يناسبهم إلا التقليد. وهؤلاء هم عموم الناس، يعني اليوم أكثر الناس يأتون إلى المشايخ يسألون ما حكم هذه المسألة، ما هي الفتوى في هذه المسألة، لا يسألون ماذا قال يعني الأحناف أو الشافعية أو المالكية أو الحنابلة. فأنت أيها الشيخ، أيها العالم، أيها المجتهد، أنت مؤتمن يعني على هؤلاء. أما بالنسبة لطلاب العلم، ممكن أن تكون شافعيا أو حنفيا ولكن زائد دليل. وهذا من وسائل طلب العلم.
The Sheikh said that he has three points he wants to speak about. One point is related to the topic, and there's two other points that he wants to take this opportunity to address, and they are important points generally for the Muslim community that should be reminded from time to time. So inshallah, we'll begin with the first point. And first of all, when we speak about the imams of the four madhabs, why should we speak about them? There are many scholars throughout Islamic history, thousands of scholars, and had great knowledge. But these specific scholars, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them in that they had teachings that became into schools, and they had followers and students that became established. And the vast majority of the Muslims adopted the teachings related back to the schools of these imams. And so many of the Muslims, they look towards these imams for their rulings in regards to the practice of their religion. But what is amazing, and they are great scholars in their due right, and we should learn from them in taking our rulings and in their behavior and in their character and in their beliefs, because they were testified by all to have pure and correct belief and away from any deviated ways or deviated paths. But what is amazing is that you have some people who are have innovations and are upon innovated paths. They claim that they are followers of one of these schools. And they say that they are following this particular madhab or that particular madhab. And they are blind followers. They are strict followers of one of these madhabs. They follow the madhab strictly. And they warn against deviating from the madhab in terms of rulings and in fiqh opinions. But when it comes to the aqidah issues, they don't follow the imams of these madhabs when it comes to aqidah. So you have some of them when they want to introduce themselves and talk about who they are and what their background is, they will say, for example, that I am a Shafi'i in my fiqh, in my madhab. I take my rulings, Sharia rulings from the Shafi'i madhab. And I take my creed from the Ash'ari way. And I take my path of tasawwuf from al-Rifa'i. So each one they take from something different. The question is, why not take your, for example, you say that you take your fiqh from a Shafi'i. Why not take your aqidah from a Shafi'i as well? Why not you take your suluk or your tazkiyah from a Shafi'i as well? Because they don't like what the imams had in these other issues. So they are people of desire. They take one thing from the imam that they like, and then they don't want to take, for example, the aqidah from the imam, and they take it from someone else that to them seems to be correct because they don't appreciate the stances of aqidah that are found in those imams. Even though they're happy to take their fiqh, which is the religious rulings from these imams of the madhabs, but aqidah, which is more important, and as Abu Hanifa, he said, rahimahullah, he said that the greatest fiqh, the greatest rulings are the rulings of aqidah, the rulings of creed and belief. So these imams are more worthy of taking our creed and beliefs from them as we respect their opinions when it comes to religious rulings. And what's worse is that these people of deviation and these people of innovation, they criticize the people that follow the way of the Salaf. And they accuse them without basis. They accuse them falsely that they are against the imams of the madhabs and they are against the madhabs and they don't respect the madhabs. And this is lies and this is baseless lies. And if we look at the great scholars, we'll see that the scholars were people who were following the madhabs and adopted the madhabs. As for example, we quote Ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn Taymiyyah himself was a Hanbali in essence. Ibn al-Qayyim and Ibn Kathir was a Shafi'i. And many of the scholars, some were Hanafis, some were Malikis. But what's important is that they didn't do blind following, because the Quran, the Sunnah, and the understanding of the Salaf was paramount. As one of our teachers, Sheikh Abdul Rahman ibn Abdul Samad, rahimahullah, who used to come and visit the brothers here in Australia, and he actually passed away here in Australia, rahimahullah, he said, "Be a Hanafi, but add to that that you take by the proof. Be a Shafi'i, but add to that that you take by the evidences. Be a Hanbali, but add to that that you take by the evidence. Be a Maliki, but add to that take by the evidences." This is for the student of knowledge and the one who understands the evidences and is able to discern these issues. But as for the general Muslim, then in reality, he doesn't follow any madhab. In reality, he doesn't ask about any madhab. The general Muslim, he goes to a sheikh or a teacher and he asks about a ruling in an aspect, and it is a responsibility of that sheikh or that teacher to tell him what he believes to be the correct opinion. The general Muslim doesn't come and say, "What is the opinion of of the scholar of this madhab in this issue. He comes to the teacher seeking what is the correct opinion based on this sheikh's study and what he has come and arrived to through his study to be the correct opinion. So for the general person, he doesn't have a madhab. As the scholars, they said, the ammi, his madhab is his mufti, yani the one who he's asking. Doesn't, because he's not able to understand and really yani study the madhabs and their proofs and so on. But this is the responsibility of the student of knowledge, that if he studies a particular madhab, that he studies as well with evidence so that he can discern the most correct opinions.
أيضا مسألة لابد من بيانها يعني في هذا الموضوع. يعني عندما قلت إنه يعني مذهب زائد دليل, وهذا بالنسبة للعلماء وكبار طلاب العلم وطلاب العلم المجتهدين لأنهم يميزون. أيضا المسلم يتعبد الله عز وجل بالدليل من القرآن والسنة, ولا يتعبد الله عز وجل بأقوال الرجال. ولكن بالنسبة لغير العلماء وخصوصا يعني بعض الشباب الذين لا علاقة لهم بالعلم لا من قريب ولا من بعيد, يعني أن يتكلموا أو يتجرأوا على العلماء خصوصا على الأئمة الأربعة. لذلك نجد عبر التاريخ أن أكثر الناس تقديرا واحتراما لمكانة الأئمة الأربعة هم العلماء رحمهم الله, يعرفون مكانتهم وقدرهم ويحترمونهم ويحترمون أقوالهم.
So as we said, when we said that for the scholar or the serious student of knowledge, that he studies a madhab with the evidence added to the madhab, understanding the evidences and discerning the evidences, this is for the scholars and the advanced student of knowledge. As for the general person, then as I said, that he asks the person of knowledge and to ascertain the ruling that he seeks. And it's not appropriate for the general person to criticize the scholars, and to especially the scholars of the madhahib. And we have seen throughout history that the true scholars are those who respect the scholars of Islam and the imams of the madhabs, and that is a sign of their يعني the correct understanding.
الكلمة التي هي خارج الموضوع, يعني تذكروا هذه الكلمة أيها الإخوة, لأننا بأشد الحاجة إليها في كل لحظة, والله في كل لحظة, حتى نلقى الله. يعني آخر كلمة, آخر كلمة نخرج بها من هذه الدنيا بحاجة إلى هذه الكلمة, وهي من أسباب الثبات. يعني لا إله إلا الله. نسأل الله أن يختم لنا ولكم بكلمة التوحيد, ولكن هذه الكلمة بحاجة إلى كلمة أخرى, وهي الإخلاص لهذه الكلمة, الإخلاص لهذه الكلمة. فأذكر نفسي وأذكر إخواني بهذه الكلمة, وأقول للجميع إياكم ثم إياكم يعني أن تغفلوا عن هذه الكلمة. يجب أن تكون معكم يعني في كل لحظة. بالنسبة لبعض العاملين من إخواننا يستعجلون الثمرة, يستعجلون الثمرة, يعني ربما يريد جاها, يريد وجاهة, يريد مركزا, يريد سمعة, يريد شهرة, يريد صيتا, يستعجل الثمرة. والإنسان سبحان الله يعني في نفسه يحب المدح ويحب الثناء, وهذا في الحقيقة ليس عيبا أو نقصا يعني في ذاته, ولكن لا تستعجل. كما قال أهل العلم يعني من القواعد, من استعجل الشيء قبل أوانه عوقب, بحرمانه فإياك أن تستعجل الأمور يعني خارج النص أو خارجا عن منهج الكتاب والسنة، لأن بعض الناس يريدون أن يصلوا يعني إلى هذه الأمور والمراتب والمراكز بطريقتهم فيقعون والعياذ بالله بأمور تناقض الإخلاص. الإخلاص أيها الإخوة يعني يمر بمراحل، إياكم يعني أن تظنوا أن الإخلاص مسألة يعني هكذا كل إنسان يتمناها أو يتحلاها أو يعني يريد أن يصل إليها بدون مراحل ومتاعب وجهاد ومجاهدة، بحاجة إلى مجاهدة وجهاد عظيم لأن دونها عقبات، خصوصا من علم بخفايا النفس البشرية وما يعتري هذه النفس يعني من مشاكل ومن أمراض، يعني فيما يتعلق بشهوة الظهور والسمعة وغير ذلك. فلا تستعجلوا الثمرة، فبحاجة إلى صبر يعني في سيرنا على هذا الطريق، ولكن اعلموا أن عاقبة الصبر وأن عاقبة الإخلاص يعني طيبة للجميع في الدنيا وفي الآخرة.
The sheikh, he said that now this is getting into the general points of advice that he wanted to share and take advantage of this gathering to share with everyone. He said there is something that we all need, and we need this one word and one phrase every time and always, and we need this word to remain with us until the last moment, and especially at the last moment, and that is the word of Tawheed, La ilaha illallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us firm on this word. But what is important with the word of Tawheed, and part of the meanings of the word of Tawheed, is to have sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the conditions of Tawheed, and one of the elements of Tawheed is to have ikhlas, which is sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is required by everyone, but especially those who work in the field of da'wah and work in spreading the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is, sometimes it's a challenge for them to remain sincere. And sometimes some of those who work in the field of da'wah, they hasten the results. Sometimes they seek or that they hope to be someone who is sort of outstanding, or someone who is looked up to, or someone who's seen as a role model, or someone who's got a good reputation and people hear about them for a lot of the time with good intention, so that they can spread the goodness. But this popularity and fame and respect and esteem, it can't be rushed. And this is something that is granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's not wrong in and of itself, because it is something natural in nature in a human being that he likes to be recognized and he likes to be praised for the things that are due to him and what he deserves. He likes to be recognized as he is deserved, as he is deserving of that. And there is no harm in that. The harm and the blame is when it is sought before its time, and a person is eager for that. Because as the scholars, they said, whoever is hasty to achieve something may be punished by being deprived of it. Whoever is eager to seek something may be punished by being deprived of it. So it requires a lot of sincerity, a lot of patience. Because if a person hastens some of these things, then it could conflict with his sincerity. And sincerity requires a lot of effort. It is not something that is achieved. It requires a lot of effort and it requires a lot of patience. Because it's something that is something in the heart that has to be challenged in the heart. And it challenges with some evil desires that we have in our hearts, which is the desire of being apparent, and the desire of fame, and loving to be seen. But that's why it requires a lot of patience, and it requires a lot of effort to be sincere. And the result of sincerity is very good for a person. If a person is truly sincere, then the results of that sincerity will not be lost, and a person will get the results of that sincerity in this world and in the hereafter.
لذلك أيها الإخوة بعض الناس يعني يريد شهرة من خلال يعني جمع المال يعني كلما زاد ماله ازداد شهرة هكذا يظن وبعض الناس من خلال الشهادات كلما يعني حصل هذه الشهادات يعني ازداد شهرة ورفعة يعني بأعين الناس وربما العكس أيها الإخوة ربما العكس فيجب أن ننتبه أيها الإخوة القبول من الله عز وجل الله عز وجل هو الذي يضع القبول لعباده في الأرض هو الذي يسخر هؤلاء الناس أن يمدحوا أو يثنوا على هذا الإنسان أو ذاك يثنوا عليه خيرا القلوب بيد الله عز وجل وهذا الثناء من الله ليس مرتبطا لا بمال ولا شهادات ولا عائلات ولا مراكز ولا قوميات ولا وطنيات انتبهوا يعني يجب على بعض الناس أن يستيقظوا من غفلتهم مساكين هؤلاء فتراهم يعني يكدون ويتعبون إلى آخره وبعدها يقولون الناس لا يقولون عني كذا أنت إذن يعني فعلت ما فعلت حتى الناس يقولون كذا يعني ذكروني قديما بعض يعني أجدادنا يعني الكبار في السن قديما وكان يعني الرحلة إلى الحج يعني عزيزة كان إذا ذهب إلى الحج ورجع إذا الناس ما نادوا حج بيغضب لك أنا أنفقت المال وتعبت إلى آخره وما بتنادوا لي حج كانوا على الفطرة مساكين ولكن أن يصدر هذا الكلام ممن ينتسب إلى العلم وإلى الدعوة والله يعني هذا عيب لا ينبغي لأهل العلم وطلاب العلم أن يفكروا بهذه الطريقة
ما طول بالترجمة
طيب عفوا some people they wish fame and sometimes they want to seek fame by becoming rich and they work to become rich and have a lot of money or collect money so that they can be famous some people they want fame by having qualifications and having certificates and recognition and by that by displaying their accreditation they want fame and sometimes it's the opposite sometimes a person the more that he seeks these things actually he becomes infamous instead of becoming famous we have to always remember that acceptance is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be accepted and loved by people and esteemed by people is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who puts love and acceptance for a person in the hearts of people. The heart in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He turns them as He wishes. The Shaykh, he mentions a story as, yani, that happens with a lot of the older people, especially in the older times, when they used to go on Hajj, and the trip to Hajj was very laborious and very difficult. And so the one who goes to Hajj, he's really achieved a great achievement. You know, it was very difficult, very expensive, and some people didn't even make it back from Hajj in the olden days. So when a person goes and performs Hajj, and it was very rare that a person does Hajj back in the olden days, in the time of our grandparents and so on, when he comes back and someone doesn't call him Hajj, he gets really upset. He said, I went to Hajj and I spent all that money and I struggled so much and you don't call me Hajj. He gets upset. So, you know, we can sometimes see that in some of the, you know, the old people or the, you know, people are ignorant, are ignorant somewhat in the religion. And, you know, and at least we can see, you know, where they're coming from. But this type of attitude is not to be expected from people of knowledge and people who have a correct understanding of Islam.
that they work hard and they achieve and so on, and then they get upset if they don't get a title or they don't get called in a certain way or something like this, you know, because you know, this is something very serious and very scary, that if you are working for this to be called and get upset if you're not called, then this is something very, yani, very critical and very dangerous.
يعني النقطة الأخيرة سأؤجلها إن شاء الله في لمناسبة أخرى، ولكن أختم هنا بالنسبة للأئمة الأربعة أيها الإخوة، يعني الإمام أبي حنيفة والإمام مالك والشافعي وأحمد، هل كان عندهم مدارس؟ هل أسسوا مدارس؟ هل أسسوا جامعات؟ هل عندهم كان يعني فريق يعني مختص بالإعلام؟ أو فريق مختص بنشر الكتب، أو فريق مختص يعني بالدعاية لهم؟ كانوا يدرسون في المساجد لا أكثر ولا أقل، أكثر من 1200 سنة، أكثر و 1300 سنة من ذاك الحين إلى يومنا هذا. يعني من حفظ تراثهم وعلمهم؟ من سخر هؤلاء العلماء بالآلاف لينشروا ويشرحوا أقوالهم رحمهم الله إلى يومنا هذا؟ ما زال الناس يستفيدون من أقوال الأئمة الأربعة، وبعد ذلك من سخر ذلك؟ ومن نقل هذا التراث؟ ومن جعل هؤلاء الناس ملايين يعني يثنون عليهم خيرا ويستفيدون من علمهم ومن كتبهم؟ ومن سخر يعني هؤلاء الناس جميعا عبر التاريخ ينشرون هذا العلم؟ الله عز وجل. هل هم كانوا يفكرون يعني بكل ذلك؟ والله يا أخوان، الإخلاص، إنه الإخلاص أهم سمة وصفة وعلامة عند هؤلاء الإخلاص رحمهم الله جميعا. وهكذا العلماء، الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله كان لا يخرج من يعني كان يجلس في غرفته، يعني يكتب ويحقق ويخرج في غرفة، ما كان عنده يعني كما يعني جامعات ولا جمعية ولا حزب إلى آخره. وانظروا بالنسبة لكتبه وعلمه، انتشر في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها. فكن مخلصا، هذا هو سبيل النجاة، الإخلاص لله عز وجل. وكن متبعا متمسكا بكتاب الله وسنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، كما علم الأئمة الأربعة يعني تلامذتهم وأتباعهم، وكلامهم مدون في كتبهم رحمهم الله. وأعتذر منكم جميعا على الإطالة.
In regards to the four imams, the four imams, did they set up schools and universities? Did they have a goal that they want to make their teachings and their madhab so popular? They didn't. They didn't set up a madhab on purpose. They didn't have a team of people who would record what they say and publicize what they say and make sure that people know about it. On the contrary, they were simple scholars sitting in a masjid like thousands of others, teaching. But their teachings and their words became accepted. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for over 1,200 years, made scholars chase after their words and become prominent based on their teachings and their words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made scholars chase after their words and learn from them and develop what they said until it became a madhab, and until even within the madhab, seeking the words of the scholars and their understanding. And so that's why their words and their statements are honored and respected and seen as an authority in the Islamic tradition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's the one who made their words and the words of these scholars like this? They didn't purposely go out to seek this. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them to become popular and accepted and established. And out of the thousands, if not millions of scholars that have passed throughout the ages and throughout the history, none had the acceptance like them. They didn't even think about that their teachings would ever come like this. It was never their intention. And similarly, another similar modern day example is Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala. He was not someone who sought popularity. He was a researcher. He's sitting in a little room studying the books and commenting on the grading of hadiths and revising books and putting the grading of hadith in the books. And these books were published, and then people started to seek the knowledge of Sheikh Al-Albani, and that's how he became a prominent scholar in our modern time. He didn't have a masjid, he didn't have a university, he didn't have a school that was promoting him. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that makes a person accepted and loved and popular among the people. So it goes back to this point that the Sheikh said, and really subhanAllah how appropriate this is, the importance of having sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person is sincere, this is what made the four imams so great, because they were sincere, and that is evident by their acceptance and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved their names, and we continue to mention their names and say rahimahumullah and pray for Allah's mercy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases their rewards by their knowledge being benefited from until this day. And how they held on strongly to the Qur'an and Sunnah. And so their teachings were accepted because they did not deviate in their rulings from the Qur'an and Sunnah. And they didn't deviate in their creed. Because if they had any deviation, then they would be rejected by some group of Muslims. But since they were widely accepted because they had no deviation in their teachings and in their creed. So when we are sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we uphold the Qur'an and Sunnah above all, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept us and will bless us as Allah blessed the great imams.
أسأل الله عز وجل في الختام أن يشرح صدوركم ويبيض وجوهكم بسنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.